Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Earlier on today, Martin O'Neill was helping to launch the 2018 Sports Direct FAI Summer Schools, Summer Soccer Schools rather, and if you want to sign up for that, you can. The website is summersoccerschools.ie. Jamie Moore was there at the Viva this afternoon and he sat down with the Irish manager.
Martin O'Neill, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
Great, thanks. Martin, we saw emotional scenes at the weekend for Wes Hoolan, his last game for Norwich. First of all, did you watch it and what do you want to say about his, I suppose, his career at Ireland and also at Norwich, because it was very emotional watching him at the weekend and he scored and got an assist as well.
Well, he was very popular at Norwich and I know that the crowd always liked him, and I think that's a good sign as well, that through all the trials and tribulations of Norwich over the years, that they still found Wes to be certainly a bit of a hero there. So that's great, and well done to him. And I think sometimes we have to point out here that as well, I didn't realise this until someone told me quite a few months ago that Wes, for all the considerations here, Wes, after James McLean, I think Wes and Shane Long have played under me more often than other players on the field. So from that viewpoint, that's something as well. I, of course, inherited Wes when he was older, let me put it this way, you know. But he's a player that I would like to have got hold of, you know, when he was maybe 21, 22 years of age, because I think then, if you were working at him at club level, and please, this is no disrespect to other managers who had him, I think you could have taught him the game the way in which I was taught way back at Nottingham Forest, where I thought that I knew the game and really didn't for quite some considerable time. And by that I mean, you know, when to pass the ball, when to run with it, and all of those things. But he certainly, from my viewpoint, I've enjoyed working with him. He's never been in a minute's trouble whatsoever. He's always wanted to play for Ireland, which is a great thing. And I had conversation with him when he was retiring, and he was very appreciative of the time that he'd had here, and the time he was on the field with me. And I said to him, I'd only two times when I could have murdered him, please, I know, metaphorically murdered him. Was when he missed the chance against Italy, when thankfully he made the cross a couple of minutes later. And the other time when I reminded him about the time he was dribbling, he back-heeled in the penalty box, in our penalty box, and he immediately said, I think it was against Poland in the game. And he said, oh no, I regret that. So, but he was great. A great character, really, really great, and very popular with the players as well too. And always played the game like a kid, and I mean that in the nicest possible way.
Yeah, obviously we're here at DVV at the launch of the FAI Soccer Schools again for the summer, and you mentioned Wes playing like a kid, and we haven't produced too many Wes Hoolans over the years, the players like him that, you know, are so good on the ball and so comfortable on the ball. What do we need to do, do you feel? I know it's a broad question, to get more of them, and, you know, for him to have played in Ireland until he was, you know, into his 20s before he went to the UK probably shows that he just had that street footballer in him that really helped his talents.
Well, that's a question I think that you would have to ask not Wes, for instance, you know, why it took so long to come over to England, if that's the case, if he had always the driving ambition to play football at the highest level. And perhaps he had, maybe he didn't, I don't know that. But, you know, it did take some time for him. And then I suppose you can ask a lot of questions. When one's career is over, then I think that's the time for a person to reflect then on maybe something that he might have been able to have done, you know, where he could have played more games in the big league, for instance. But that aside, you mentioned a point about about someone's natural ability, and I do believe that the programmes that the FAI are now setting up I think that we will bear fruit in time. I genuinely think this. You know, I think there's a method now in it. There's, you know, we're talking about the summer camps, but we're also talking about the producing of players with ability, allowing them to develop their own ability, which is something I've always said. You know, allow them to play, allow them, and this idea of coaching someone at 9, 10, and 11 years of age, you know, I think it'd have to be kind of specialised. Just let them play naturally, really play naturally. And, I mean, this coming from someone, I never had a coaching lesson until I was about 17. So it doesn't really matter. You can allow players to develop naturally, and that's the thing. And I think these things are coming through. And I honestly, I've got great hope for the future of Irish soccer in that sense, that I'm hoping that we'll be able to produce the likes of a Liam Brady again with that slinky ability, you know, the likes of a real driving force like Roy Keane, a Paul McGrath, players like this that might not necessarily be in this particular generation, but I hope in generations to come with the work that's been put in and I think with a renewed enthusiasm about everything, I think that'll stand in good stead. That's what I genuinely believe.
We had Ray Houghton on Off the Ball last night, and he was asked about why he chose to play for Ireland as opposed to Scotland, and he said it was due to Jack Charlton ringing him and convincing him to play for Ireland before the Scotland manager did. And I was speaking to Kevin Kilbane before we came out this morning, and he was interested to get your view on, do you feel it's the international manager's responsibility to try and convince players who may be on the borderline of a couple of countries, Declan Rice for example, to play for Ireland as opposed to someone else, as Jack Charlton did for Ray Houghton all those years ago?
Well, I'm surprised that the Scottish manager at the time hadn't phoned up Ray Houghton to ask him about playing. He probably thought, maybe being a Scotsman, that this is what he wanted to do. But yeah, and if Jack called him and told him or asked him to come and play, fine. I think it was around about the same time as John Aldridge as well. I think people like this. But I think, first of all, there has to be a genuine feeling that you want to play. Now, if you get encouragement from a manager coming up and saying that please would you play for us? Of course, that's good. But you can't be calling him every single minute of the day. Players have to show some sort of want to play, and a follow up. I think, and also let me tell you, like, lots of teams have been after Ray Houghton. He was actually a very good player. Don't shout that out, but he was actually a very, very good player who could have played for a lot of nationalities, to be perfectly honest. You know, so first of all, you have to be a good player for a start. That does help. And if someone's going to improve your team, then I do believe that managers will chase the players. If some players, you know, not all that brilliant and is humming and hawing about playing, I'm not so sure that the chase is worth it. That's my view.
And if the chase is worth it, are there certain keys for you as the Ireland manager that you feel may help you to get a player who might, well,
think,
you know, play
think,
for the
North? Yeah. First of all, the chase has to be worth it for a start, all right? Or what you think is worth it, you know? Of course, players can improve from the time that you first see someone playing, for instance. And, the chase is worth it. And then I think there's things then that an international manager can do to facilitate that situation.
There we are, some of Martin O'Neill's thoughts this afternoon at the Aviva Stadium. We'll bring you one more point he was making about Steven Gerrard going to Rangers, it seems. But, Dan, 8 minutes gone in the Bernabeu. Bayern Munich through Kimmich have equalised. It is 2-2 in aggregate. They're 1-0 up on the night, obviously. It was a Muller cross from the right, and it seems that, it looks like Ramos and Varane didn't deal with it, and it came to Kimmich, and he opened his body out very nicely and just side-footed it into the far corner. It was actually a really, really calm finish.
Calm finish after some not-so-calm defending, really, yeah. from the cross. It was sort of a bad goal, really, you know, for this sort of level of football. It's just a routine cross. I think it was, like, in the third, fourth minute, just a routine cross. They defended it really badly. It wasn't, like, you know, exceptional football that opened them up. Mm. But yeah, I mean, this is it. Like, you know, just the dynamic of these ties, that when you're away second, you know, all the stuff you need to score twice. When they've got one and they're another away from really sort of making this a very nervy evening, even more so than it already is for Real Madrid in this situation. So, yeah, we've got a game on anyway, that's for sure.
And they were better in Munich in many ways, Byron. So it's a very interesting start. Some interesting thoughts there from Martin O'Neill. The one which kind of grabbed me, I always have my Wes antennae up. Anything about Wes I'm interested in. He didn't mean it disrespectfully, and he certainly it didn't come across that way, but he gave us a little bit on Wes in that he said, I'd love to have worked with him at club level from his early 20s and maybe just to mould him a little bit as a player. Because we often wonder with Wes, what's missing, what's been the deficiency at certain clubs or with certain managers? What have they seen that they're not so sure about when it comes to putting him in and really committing to him? Maybe O'Neill hinted at something there anyway, some kind of game knowledge. But it never struck me that Wes was lacking in an understanding of what was going on around him, to
be honest. No, it wouldn't have been, you know, sort of my personal view either, but and it's strange, there were some managers that seemed to, you know, someone like Paul Lambert, who was actually probably a maybe not an O'Neill disciple, but I mean, he'd certainly worked with him, and we saw Roy Keane work with Paul Lambert in recent years, so they obviously have some sort of shared views on the game, and Lambert always found a role for Wes. I mean, Wes, you know, didn't really have any fear in terms of how he, you know, approached games, and you know, he went looking for the ball and was able to deal with the ball, which would be a big phrase that O'Neill would speak as we watch a goal, get distracted by a goal being scored from Benzema. So we've got one all.
Oh, header from Benzema, 10 minutes gone. It's Real Madrid 1, Bayern 1, 3-2 in aggregate to Madrid. If you're just tuning in, you missed Bayern scored early on in this game, Kimmich with the goal, and Madrid have hit back, and it's Benzema crossed to the far post, and he had lots of empty net to aim at and put it away.
Yeah, again, not a great goal from the sort of the team that's conceded a point of view. I mean, what, we're 10 minutes in, and maybe it's just one of these games that sets up for one of these nights where, hey, we're going to have a goal fest.
Yeah.
You know, all sort of basic defending goes out the window. It's sort of a straightforward, I mean, it's actually a pretty good ball in from the left, to be fair. And Benzema swiveled away into space at the far post.
Yeah.
He's selling it short a bit, but he still took it well. The thing about Wes, though, which to go back to that point,
yeah.
I mean, I suppose Wes always looked for the ball, always demanded the ball, and I wondered, did he more so, you know, did O'Neill have a traditional view where he just didn't want Wes getting on the ball in certain areas and wanted him to be more aware of his role within the team? But I think sometimes, you know, Wes has played for Ireland, and why people warmed to him so much is, you know, there are other players who were not quite afraid of the ball but didn't demand it in the way that he did.
Yeah.
And maybe there were times he would drift from position slightly to do that. But sometimes people get frustrated with Wes. Oh, he's giving the ball away, he's giving the pass. It's because he was trying more things than anyone else. You know, so people, it's such a sort of a weird view that, it'd be safer sometimes to just play the percentages, whereas Wes's risk-taking is what marked him out. And we also speak to people about, you know, who've played with Wes, there's misconceptions about him, you know, physically and so on. Like, he was super fit. He probably got fitter as he got older and lived a bit better. There's definitely no doubt about that. Mm. But in terms of his natural energy on the pitch and what he could do and the space and the, you know, you felt at times that some managers struggled to recognise that and couldn't get by his size.
Yeah, to be fair, O'Neill did say there he'd played him after McLean and Shane Long more than any other player. So that was a seal of approval. And then on Stephen Gerrard going to Rangers, O'Neill was asked for his thoughts on that by various people and was talking first of all about just the scale of the job at Ibrox.
I do think the Rangers are desperately poor, and I think if Celtic are going to improve in Europe, I actually believe that they need a strong competitive Rangers to be with them. And you know, and now that might sound anathema to some Celtic fans at this minute who are desperate to go maybe 10 in a row, but I just genuinely think this, that Celtic, for Celtic to improve, now Celtic are a million miles the best side in Scotland at the moment, you know, and Rangers competition, as you've seen in recent weeks, both in the Cup semi-final and last week, is desperately weak, you know, and let's be fair about it, you know, they are weak. It's the weakest Rangers side I have ever known, and Celtic need them to be stronger, because by that there'll be more competition, and I honestly think that a stronger Rangers side, a more competitive Rangers side, would help Celtic in their quest for just to for that extra stride in Europe. I know playing and managing are two totally different things, but it would be a massive lift for Rangers. Someone of that ilk was coming to there, coming to them, and if he is and he wants to do it, I think Stevie would be well aware that there might have to be a few promises kept, and that Rangers would have to improve the calibre of player to try and improve. Otherwise, what's the point? But I think that if he was going there, I think Rangers would almost have to demand that they would have a better quality of play.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.